Before I begin this morning, I want to take just this opportunity to thank you once again for the invitation to be here these few days, and especially this invitation now to participate in this worship service and to bring a message from God's Word. You are a real blessing to me. I said to the other congregation this morning how much I appreciated the enthusiasm of your singing and of your reading, and I have to repeat that now. I do appreciate the enthusiasm of it, and it warms my heart to be able to sing some of the Genevan tunes with Messiah's congregation. And our prayer is that the Lord will continue to bless us as we meditate together on His Word. And so let us look to the Lord in prayer for that blessing. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the light that you have shed upon our way, in that you have given to us a holy and infallible word, which we can read, and by the help of your Holy Spirit we can understand and apply to our lives. And Lord, we pray for your blessing now as we read your word. We pray, Lord, that you would open its meaning to us, that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit, so that our faith will not stand in human wisdom, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear us, Lord, forgive our sin and holy things, and bless us with your presence and power. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Going to ask you to turn with me in God's Word now to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, and I'm going to read from chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, and conclude with verse 14 in Luke chapter 18. We have two parables, the parable of the persistent widow, and then the focus of our attention this morning on the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in verses 9 through 14. But beginning now the reading of God's Word in verse 1 of chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?' To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us this morning his holy and infallible word. My brothers and sisters, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, almost 500 years ago now, the Holy Spirit did a great work of reformation in his church, the Church of Jesus Christ. At that time, the Holy Spirit taught us in a new and powerful way that we could not hope to be saved in the day of judgment by the merit of our works. Our only hope of salvation lay in the name of Jesus Christ. In the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, Jesus has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. Fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. And so we are justified and saved through faith in Jesus Christ, faith in his blood and righteousness. And what a wonderfully liberating doctrine that is. We are justified through faith in Jesus, who has fully paid for all our sins with his precious blood. When we think about justification by faith, we naturally think of the Apostle Paul. And we think especially of his letter to the Romans and his letter to the Galatians. But this doctrine of justification by faith is found throughout the Word of God, throughout Scripture, and surely it is found also in the public ministry of our Lord. And so this morning I want to direct you to one of his parables that is called the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We find it in Luke chapter 18, and we read that parable together a moment ago. Now, I have to confess that I had always thought of this parable as a parable about two men, the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the parable itself talks about these two men. But a number of years ago, I was reading the work of a Dutch commentator. I don't remember his name now. But he mentioned the fact that this parable is really a parable about three men. And it's that thought on which I want to pick up this morning as we meditate together about this parable. As you know, Luke wrote both the gospel that bears his name, the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And his concern in Luke and Acts was to show how the gospel is not only a gospel for God's ancient people, the Jews, but is also a gospel, good news for the Gentiles as well. And in this parable, we have a tax collector who is a Jew by birth. But because he had become a tax collector, he has really identified himself with the Gentile community. He has, in effect, become a collaborator with the enemy, the Roman overlords. Because of this, pious Jews, such as the Pharisee in the parable, would despise him. But nevertheless, this tax collector finds mercy. He finds mercy at the hand of the Lord, and the Lord receives him as one of his own. The point that Luke is making is perfectly clear. The gospel offers the hope of salvation, even to tax collectors. It offers the hope of salvation to people who are despised in the community. It offers the hope of salvation to Gentile sinners from whom pious people want to keep their distance. It is not the Pharisee with his Mosaic law who is justified, but it is the tax collector. Sinners are made right in the sight of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Sinners made right in the sight of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the message of the parable, and it is also the abiding message of the Protestant Reformation that we remember in a special way at this time of year. As I said a moment ago, it is a parable about three people. And the first of these is the self-righteous Pharisee. This man goes to the temple to pray, and the scripture tells us what is in his mind and on his heart. The Pharisee begins to pray with a word of thanksgiving to God. But very quickly we realize that that is only a pious preface to what is his real concern. The emphasis is on self-exaltation in comparison with others. And the others with whom he compares himself are really not the best in the community. The Pharisee points out to the Lord that he is not a robber, that he is not an evildoer, that he is not an adulterer. And no doubt he was correct in saying these things. He did not go around robbing people. He was not an evildoer or an adulterer. He is not even like the tax collector who happens to worship the same God that he worships. And as we listen to him, we cannot help but wonder what he thought of himself in comparison to men like Abraham or David or Isaiah. This Pharisee also has some positive things to say about himself. In verse 12, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Now it's a good thing that the Pharisee pointed these things out to the Lord, lest the Lord overlook them. We would not for a moment want the Lord to underestimate the full extent of the righteousness of this man. In the law of Moses, the Lord asked his people, to fast only one day out of the whole year. That's all the Lord asked. There were, of course, many other occasions on which people could fast for specific purposes, if they so chose to do. But this man, he fasted not once a year, but twice. And twice each week. He fasted on 2 days each week, whether he needed to or not. And the Lord levied the tithe on only certain types of productivity. But this man gives a tithe of all that he gets, of all that he possesses. Not only is this man more righteous than other persons, he is even more righteous than the Lord himself has a right to expect. And you know, it seems to be the rule that when we pride ourselves on doing more than the Lord asks of us in one respect, we easily fall far short in other respects. And that was certainly true of the Pharisees in the days of our Lord. Consider Luke 11, verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect what? You neglect justice and the love of God. One time Jesus said to the Pharisees, you justify yourselves in the eyes of men. You justify yourselves, but God knows your hearts. And what the Lord saw in these men was not a pretty sight. And this is evident from the word of judgment that the Lord now speaks. This Pharisee did not go home justified before God. In his own eyes, yes, in his own eyes, he may well have been in the right before the Lord. But he was not right in the eyes of the Lord. Here is a man who has exalted himself. And so, according to verse 14, he will be humbled in the divine judgment. He has exalted himself and will be humbled in the divine judgment. The second person we meet in this parable is a confessed sinner. This tax collector was a traitor to the faith of his fathers, and therefore he is a sinner even by definition. The Pharisee was outwardly righteous, but his heart was not right with God. This tax collector is outwardly unrighteous. But what is he like on the inside? Was he really a good-hearted soul who just happened to get mixed up with the wrong crowd by collaborating with these Roman overlords? And you know, brothers and sisters, we like to put people in that category. We like to pronounce their hearts good, while their behavior is anything but acceptable. Not long ago, we had an example of that in West Michigan, in West Ottawa County, where I live. There were some senior students at the local public high school who just before graduation broke into their school building. It had been recently built. They broke into their school building and they did well over $10,000 worth of damage. These were seniors just before their graduation. And it was surprising to read in the newspapers how many thought that these were really good kids. They're really good kids who just happened to get carried away and they should certainly not be severely punished. They should certainly not be denied a place in their graduation ceremonies. Many people see themselves in a similar way. We as pastors encounter that from time to time. Pastor, I know that what I am doing is wrong, but my heart is in the right place. Well, it's interesting that this tax collector did not make that kind of mistake. He came to the temple at the hour of prayer. But like the children of God at Mount Sinai, he did not dare to come too close. He stood at a distance and did not even dare to look up to heaven. And he began to beat his breast, and that was a sign of self-incrimination. Yes, he was every bit as bad as the Pharisee thought he was. And the body language of this tax collector spoke volumes to those who saw him. And when he began to pray, it was for the sole purpose of seeking mercy from the Lord. He was a Jew by birth, but he did not even dare to use the covenant name of the Lord. He said, "God, God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He was overwhelmed with the sense of his own sin and unworthiness. Now the Pharisee came to the temple that day as a self-righteous sinner. He came to the temple as a self-righteous sinner, and he returned home the same way. He returned home as a self-righteous sinner. And he will be humbled in the judgment of God. The tax collector, on the other hand, came to the temple as a confessed sinner. And really what he did was to pronounce judgment on himself. He pronounced judgment on himself. He humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, he is exalted in the sight of the Lord. And how does he return home? The scripture says he returns home justified before God. That's what the text says. He returned home justified before God. And really, this man returns home a totally different person. A totally different person. And that's why we have to say that this is really a parable about three men. The parable says that the tax collector who confessed his sin and who made no claims for himself was justified before God. He had been in a wrong relationship to God, but now he was in a right relationship. He came to the temple under wrath and condemnation, but now he knows the joy of his salvation. And the change is so thorough and so radical that we are warranted in saying, yes, he is a different person. Things are not now the same for him, and they will not be the same in the future. His lifestyle will change. Just the way the lifestyle of Zacchaeus changed so radically once he became a true son of Abraham by faith in Jesus. You remember that story of Zacchaeus. How through his encounter with Jesus and through faith in Jesus, his lifestyle was totally transformed. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins." this tax collector went home justified. The Lord will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And you have to note both of those changes that are specified in this verse. Forgiveness and purification. Our sins are forgiven. And if we have also been cleansed from our sin, purified from our sins, then we are indeed different people. Our height may remain the same. We may weigh just as much as we did before. Our eye color remains the same. Our hair color may stay the same. Of course, we may shave off our beard and be different that way. But it will grow back. Pastor Schlissel assures us of that. All these things remain the same. But in this parable, we no longer have a confessed sinner, but a justified saint, forgiven and purified. The need for this third category, a justified saint, becomes even more apparent when we look at a passage like Psalm 18, verses 20 through 24. In verses 23 and 24, the psalmist says, I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Now really, doesn't that sound for all the world like the self-righteous Pharisee? The cleanness of my hands, my righteousness. But verse 27 of Psalm 18 shows that the psalmist is not speaking in order to exalt himself. Precisely the opposite. He is speaking out of humility. Verse 27, Lord, you save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. This psalmist does not belong to the category of the Pharisee, because his eyes are not haughty. He is not proud. He is not self-righteous. Well then, is he like the tax collector? Is he like the confessed sinner? Well, it surely doesn't sound that way. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. There is no breast beating in this psalm, because what we have is the psalmist David speaking as a justified saint. He speaks out of a sense of being in a right relationship with the Lord God. He is not a self-righteous Pharisee, and at the same time, he is much more than a confessed sinner. In the parable, the tax collector has become a justified saint. Now, brothers and sisters, how do we apply this parable to our own experience with the Lord? Into which category do you put yourself this morning or this afternoon? Now, usually when pastors ask that question, they give us only two choices. You are either like the self-righteous Pharisee, or you are like the sinful tax collector. And that's why a psalm like Psalm 18, from which we read a moment ago, becomes an embarrassment to us. Because there is no one who can sing it and really mean what he is singing. Now, it is true that there are people today, like the Pharisee, who are righteous in their own eyes. No question about it. There are people like that. And the thought is that they have, the thought that they have sins to confess never crosses their minds. They just don't think that way. And because they think that they are righteous, they do not see their need for repentance. And because they do not see their need for repentance, and because they do not repent, they do not know the joy of the forgiveness of sins. They may think that they are acceptable to God the way they are, or because they fulfill certain religious obligations. They may think they are acceptable to God, but they are wrong. And this parable was spoken by our Lord for their salvation, to help them. Verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And so Jesus is saying to every one of us this morning, do not be like this self-righteous Pharisee who thought that he did not need to repent and therefore did not experience the joy of salvation. And so, my friend, if you find yourself this morning in category one, then I would exhort you to move on to category two. You must be honest with yourself, and you must be honest before the living God. And you must learn to say from your heart, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. 1 John 1, verse 8 says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we do not want to claim to be without sin. And if we are given only two choices, then this is where we want to be, numbered among those who from their hearts confess their sin to the Lord. But brothers and sisters, we must not plan on staying in category two any more than we should stay in category one. There is a familiar hymn with these words, and we're going to be singing this hymn at the conclusion of this message. Lord, like the publican I stand and lift my heart to Thee. Thy pardoning grace, O God, command, be merciful to me. And there are times when we sing this hymn, and times when we ought to be singing this hymn because it speaks the truth so exactly. And so it is appropriate that we sing that hymn this morning. It is the confession that we need to make. But there also comes a time when we must move on to Psalm 18. Since with my God, with perfect heart, I walk and make His word my guide and from iniquity depart, the Lord His blessing will provide. Now, I don't want you to make a mistake here. I don't want you to think that category three is the same as category one. If you find yourself in category 2, you do not move back to category 1. You move on to category 3. And that's something altogether different. And if we forever feel more comfortable with, "Lord, like the publican I stand," if we always feel more comfortable with that than with Psalm 18, then something is wrong. We have not yet reached the place where the tax collector is at the end of the parable. And the Lord wants us to move on to where the tax collector is at the end of the parable. The Lord wants us to move on and enter in to the joy of our salvation. If we are stuck in category 2, we have not yet understood that if we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins, and He will purify us from all unrighteousness. So what is the message of this parable? Verse 14 tells us quite clearly, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." God will impute sin to those who deny that they are sinners. If you do not humble yourself in this life, my friend, you will be humbled in the day of judgment. But the Lord forgives the sin of those who confess their sin and seek His pardon. The text says that He exalts the humble. And He does exactly that. He exalts them. They become justified saints in whom the Lord takes His delight. They are exalted. Verse 14 says that the tax collector went home justified before God. And so I leave you with this simple question. When you leave this service today and you go home, how will you go home? A self-righteous sinner? Or a justified saint? Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the clarity of the teaching of our Lord. And Father, we would be obedient to Him today. We would not for a moment want to exalt ourselves. We would humble ourselves in Your presence to confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. And we plead Your forgiveness, Lord, and Your word assures us that You will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Grant, Lord, that each one of us may return home today filled with the joy of our salvation through Jesus who loved us and gave Himself for us. Amen.